Shall we just stand for the reading of God's word? I want to share thoughts that are going to give us the direction of what we are praying for today. I want us to read Matthew 26, verse 40. Matthew 26, verse 40 and to 41. You're looking for this? So as we are praying today, our focus, in light of sharings which have been taking place on the daily devotion platform for this month, and something I feel on my heart, I want us to have our prayers focused on this thing. I'll title the thought, The Breaking of the Outward Man. The Breaking of the Outward Man. So I'll speak for a few minutes and then later on we'll go into prayers. So please let that door be closed. Matthew 26 and verse 40 to 41. So if it is possible, may I have someone there? Whoever wants to use that door, please let them use the other way. I don't want to have disturbance this side. Matthew 26 verse 40 to 41. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now, let me begin by reading a few statements which were written by one precious servant of God, Watchman Nee. I take these readings from his book titled The Release of the Spirit. The Release of the Spirit. Now, in this book, Watchman Nee, he explains about the condition of a believer. He explains about the outward man, and what he calls the outward man is the soul and your flesh, your body. What he calls the inner man is the spirit inside you. Now, let me read this portion for you. Let me see if I can share it for the online audience. So these words were written by Watchman Nee, a very spiritual man, and this is what he says. Many of God's servants are not able to do even the most elementary works. Ordinarily, they should be enabled by the exercise of their spirit to know God's word, to discern the spiritual condition of another, to send forth messages under anointing, and to receive God's revelations. Yet, now, listen to this. Yet, due to the distractions of the outward man, their spirit does not seem to function properly. Their spirit does not seem to function properly. It is basically the outward man, it is basically because their outward man has never been dealt with. For there is just one basic dealing which can enable man to be useful before God: brokenness. Now, let me speak a few words there. Now, we all have the flesh. We all have this outward man. And we have the soul, where our emotions, thoughts, imaginations reside. But when God touches you, there is a spirit inside you. And that spirit needs to connect back to God. So within you, when that spirit connects to God, you are going to have a desire to pray. God would want to use you in a way that would be a blessing to another person, to the house of God, to the bride of Christ, in a way to discern even the spiritual condition in other people's lives. And when you are connected to God, God will bring something through your heart. And you speak words which will just be the right words someone needs to hear for their spiritual benefit. Now, Watchman Nee here describes a condition which can hinder that work of God through us. And I'm not speaking about preachers. I'm speaking about anyone called a believer. You see, there has to be that fellowship between you and the Holy Spirit. Now, God can start doing a work inside your heart, your spirit. But then, whatever work that God is doing may have a challenge for it to be expressed outwardly. So inside you have this feeling, you have this tugging on your heart, you have this feeling that you can climb higher heights spiritually, but then there is a challenge for that to manifest outwardly. Are we together? Why is there that difficulty? Because there is this outer shell of the outward man, which is hindering the expression of that. Now, the scripture that we read in Matthew 26, verse 40, here is how the Lord Jesus expresses what we are talking about. He says in verse 41, "The spirit indeed is willing." So these disciples, they have to pray with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to watch and pray with him for an hour. The spirit inside of them is willing. It has a desire. Now, how many of you, you've ever had a desire to say, "I would love to spend more quality time before the Lord," but somehow there is this barrier, there is this hindrance. Ever experienced that, any? Okay. So now this is what the Lord Jesus is speaking. He says, "The spirit indeed is willing." In other words, it has a will, it has a desire, it has a passion to do that, to walk in the spirit, to pray, to spend quality time before the Lord. The spirit is willing. But then what is the hindrance? The Lord Jesus said, "But the flesh is weak." But the flesh is weak. Now, let me read on what Watchman Nee says. So, in this sentence which I've highlighted for you who are on the online audience, the last sentence, he says, "As we shall see, there is just one basic dealing which can enable man to be useful before God." Now, you know, God wants to use you. God wants to use every person in here. God wants to use you to reach out to a person, to be a blessing in the body of Christ, because every child of God has their place in the body of Christ. And when your spirit becomes so well connected with the Spirit of God, and your outward man is completely broken, God can use you. You will be like a glove. You know the gloves we wear, like when it is cold. You know, you will be like a glove which God can pick and put his hand in to accomplish his works. But how can that be? And we are speaking about this because the foremost thing on my mind is the missions work, and especially our crusade, which is coming up. And of course, as we read out the prayer requests, there are other people having other outreach works. That will always be top on our prayer requests whenever we have this monthly prayer and fasting. And of course, we have other prayer requests to pray for, but that is top on the list. Now, the thing of it is, sometimes someone may pray and say, "Oh Lord, please use me." That is really a wrong prayer, because the Lord Jesus said the field is big. But what is the problem? What were we looking at last month's prayer and fasting? What did we say the problem is? What was the problem? What did we say? The laborers are few. So it's not really like one has to beg the Lord that, "Lord, use me, use me." You know, those are very common prayers in Pentecostal circles, in charismatic circles, because people actually look at being used by God with a twist of ambition. Like, if God uses me, then people will know about it. Usually that is a Pentecostal framework of thinking, the Pentecostal denominations. And because there is a way they look at the work of God, it's about making a name, it's about, you know, creating what you call a profile. But that's not what we're talking about. And if you look at it really, if you look at the true work of God, God actually is short of people who are available to do the work. So it's not really about, "Lord, please use me." It's really more about, "Lord, make me usable." Because God is looking for a people that he can use, because there is so much work. But the biggest challenge God has is to find a brother, to find a sister that are a usable material for his work. That really is the big problem. What do we mean by usable material? A material that is completely yielded and surrendered. There is no portion of the flesh in it. No portion of ambition in it. A material whose thoughts can completely step aside and God can blow his word through that material. That is the problem God has, to find a usable material. And now, brothers and sisters, each one of us, potentially God wants to use us, because there's so much that needs to be done. And that is why I said, even as we go to Chatama for the crusade, every person has to go there and be used by God. Because you know the kind of work which is on the mission fields. When you call an altar call and this one needs to be prayed for and all that, there's usually a great work to be done. And it shouldn't just be the preacher who is spiritual enough, having discernment enough. All of us who need to be spiritual for God to reach out and pick on us, to use that brother, to use that sister, and then there will be testimonies coming from every angle and from every direction. That really is my desire and my passion. Is that your desire? Is that your desire too? Yeah. You know, when you read the book of Acts, when you read the book of Acts, let me just turn off this. When you look at the book, you read the book of Acts, there are men who are known as apostles, Peter, James, John, and others. But do you realize that there were many testimonies which were happening beyond the circles of the apostolic ministry? For example, you have a man like Stephen, a young man like Stephen, Philip. These were actually ordained as deacons in the church, but wherever they were, they became firebrands. And God could use them. God could use Philip to reach out to the eunuch. You see? You read about the seven daughters of Philip who were prophetesses. When Paul visited them, the Spirit of God came on them and they prophesied. The body of Christ must reach a point where the whole body, whether it's a finger, whether it's a little toe, every part of the body needs to function in a very healthy way. Spiritual, yielded, so that we're able to hear the voice of our Master. Praise the Lord. And for that to happen, Joshua, may you bring that board for me? Because I want to illustrate something, but if you can, you bring me a marker. Just put it there. Sorry. Okay. You can move this there. Go pick a marker for me. So now, God, the Spirit of God which is in you, the Spirit of God which is in you, it has all power, it has all potential to accomplish the wonderful works of God. It's powerful, it's great. But the challenge is how that Spirit can break through to break your outward man so that it can freely express itself. There's an outer shell, and in that outer shell, there's emotion, there's reasoning, there are thoughts thinking about business, there are thoughts thinking about your personality, and what people think about you. Do you know all that is an outer hard shell, which hinders the Spirit of God to express itself? Now, listen to the words of Watchman Nee. I'll read the words I've highlighted again. He says, it is basically because, okay, let me read, starting from yet. He says, yet, due to the distractions of the outward man, their spirit does not seem to function properly. You know, you can be a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit in you, but yet we fail to function properly as vessels of God, as children of God, as temples of the Holy Spirit. There is a conflict. There is something God is putting in our hearts, but it can't fully express itself the way it has to express itself. How many understand what I'm talking about? Do you know, are you following what I'm talking about? Okay. So yet, due to the distractions of the outward man, their spirit does not seem to function properly. So like you said, you have a desire. Say, I know I can live and walk in a more intimate, closer relationship with God than I am right now. But somewhat, you are failing to do that. And every now and then, you find yourself cowed down by cares of life. And you know, there is something in you that is crying out, yearning. But somehow, when it wants to manifest itself, it hits against this outward barrier. And so that expression can't release itself. The expression of the Spirit can't release itself outwardly. And he says it is basically because their outward man has never been dealt with, meaning the outward man needs to be dealt with. Is that right? The outward man needs to be dealt with. For this reason, now listen to this, for this reason, revival, zeal, pleading and activity are but a waste of time. So a preacher can try to have a revival meeting, or God can even send out a revival, pour out his Spirit and something is happening. There can even be zeal. One can even be zealous to do things, and you can actually be zealously in the flesh. You can even be doing works for God, yet those works for God are not really bearing forth fruit because they are primarily done by the outward man. The spirit which should be dominant, it is concealed, and hence, even when you are doing the work of God with all the zeal, it can't find proper expression. Now, Joshua, I'm going to trouble you again. I need this thing wrapped. So, even zeal can be there, but it all becomes a very fruitless effort. Why? As we shall see, there is just one basic dealing which can enable a man to be useful before God, and it's brokenness. When God comes to indwell us by His Spirit, life and power, He comes into our spirit, which we are calling the inward man. Outside of this inward man is the soul, wherein function our thoughts, emotions, and will. The outermost man is our physical body. Thus, we will speak of the inward man as the spirit, the outward man as the soul, and the outermost man as the body. Okay, let me skip all this and then come. Let me read this portion now. So he says, the basic difficulty the basic difficulty of a servant of God, okay, that's all right. So I'm going to put forth this drawing. So there is your inner man, this. Let us put this here to represent the soul. Let us put this to symbolize the body. Okay, I'm not saying this is how you are, but it's just a visual aid to help you picture what I'm trying to explain. So now, when you are born again, God touches this spirit, puts His word in there. So there's going to be a burning zeal of God in there. But here, there are thoughts. There are imaginations. This here, the imaginations are shaped by experiences you had, which shape the way you make decisions, which shape the way you think about yourself, your upbringing. All the experiences you've been through in life, they all reside and characterize your soul. So you've heard some people, they have low self-esteem. Usually it's because of the way they were brought up. Others behave a certain way. When you say something to them, they react in a certain way. They react like that as a result of a sum total of various experiences which have shaped their way of thinking and their way of doing things. Now, if you are, for example, 40 years old, 50 years old, that's not just a number. That number represents experiences you've been through life, your ups and downs, things that you've come to believe about yourself. And depending on what kind of an environment has influenced you, there are certain ways you are going to live your life. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, when you become born again, God comes to change everything about you. Now, when you are born again, what the Holy Spirit does in your life should control and rule over your soul and your body. These should be brought under subjection to what God is doing in your life. In other words, they should die. And that dying process, you need to die daily, learning to yield to the Spirit. But now the trouble is, like he says here, He says, the basic difficulty of a servant of God lies in the failure of the inward man to break through the outward man. How? It can break through this to express itself to the outside world. As it expresses itself to the outside world, it becomes a blessing to other people, to yourself and to others. And hence, you become fruitful in the body of Christ. You become fruitful in the house of God. Are we following? Now, he says, therefore, we must recognize before God that the first difficulty to our work is not in others, but in ourselves. How many agree with that? We must recognize before God that the first difficulty is not, the first difficulty to our work, whatever work it is, whatever your spiritual experience is, whatever work we have to do for the crusade or whatever it is, the first difficulty, the first challenge, don't look at another person outside you. The first difficulty we have is not in others, but in ourselves. The biggest hindrance you have to your spiritual revival is not that person you feel they hate you or they gossip about you or they're not fair or whatever it is. It's in yourself. Everyone say, the problem is me. You're afraid of speaking that. It's true. Can you say, the problem is me? It's your flesh. It's your imaginations. It's your thoughts. So that is where the problem begins. Tell me any healthy church you've seen, any healthy congregation. It has to be a congregation of people who are selfless, and every now and then they are in prayers for God to perfect them. They esteem another person better than them. They go before God, dying to their flesh and saying, Lord, have thine own way in me. Make me usable. Praise God. Our spirit seems to be wrapped in a covering. Our spirit seems to be wrapped in a covering so that it cannot easily break forth. And that's the illustration here. That part in you where God is doing a work, it is wrapped in this soul, wrapped with this body and all its cravings and all the things it sees and all these influences. So it is all wrapped. So now, whether our works are fruitful or not, listen to this, whether our works are fruitful or not depends upon whether our outward man has been broken by the Lord. So I'm making some corrections in some words here. So whether our works are fruitful or not depends upon whether our outward man has been broken by the Lord so that the inward man can pass through that brokenness and come forth. And that is true. I was being hosted by a church in Zimbabwe, and they had a Zoom meeting. They asked me to minister, and I was speaking about being fruitful. You know, and reading this line just reminds me of certain words I was speaking when I was preaching that message. Whether our works are fruitful. You know, you need to be fruitful. In the beginning, God spoke, let the earth bring forth trees and their fruit bearing forth, the trees bearing forth fruit after their own kind. And even when God made a human being, he said, be fruitful. What God makes, he wants it to be fruitful. It needs to bear forth fruit. If you become born again today, God expects fruit out of your life. He expects you to overcome, to have victory, to bear forth fruit. What is the fruit? It's the result, the manifestation of the work God is doing in your life, and other people have to enjoy and benefit from that. Praise the Lord. You know, one can live so many years in the faith, but very fruitless. Very fruitless. You should be fruitful. But how do you become fruitful? You can never be fruitful until the outward man dies, is broken. You see, This is the basic problem. The Lord wants to break our outward man in order that the inward man may have a way out. When the inward man is released, both unbelievers and Christians will be blessed. And that is very true. You know, certain fellowships have very toxic environments. Very toxic environments. This one gossips against that one. This one talks about the other one. Until the environment becomes very acidic. And the Holy Spirit, His works cannot truly manifest in an environment like that. If we are all full of our flesh and ourselves, we are going to fail at everything, including the crusade. You know the beautiful thing about the work we are doing? It's a war. It's a war. But it's a kind of a war. We don't fight the way the worldly warfare fights. It doesn't work like that. It's a kind of a war where you win the more you die to yourself. And please, if you can find time, I want you to listen to a message, a sermon which was preached by Brother Ariel Stroman. That's the son to Brother Rolf Stroman. He preached it. He's in the U.S., I believe. I was listening to his message. He was preaching it in Brother Tim McKay's church. I think I shared it on my Facebook page. Listen to it. He talks about humility, true humility. And when you listen to Brother Ariel's message on true humility, I would want you, after you listen to that message, you read the book, The Release of the Spirit, by Watchman Nee. The Lord willing, I may have to share it in the daily devotion platform, if that will be okay. Or I can share it on this platform, or in case you need it, you need to read this book where I'm picking these excerpts. So if you need that as you are listening to this, those who are online, you can just type for me your email address. I think that would be better. But the thing is, let me read this last line again. The Lord wants to break our outward man in order that the inward man may have a way out. When the inward man is released, both unbelievers and Christians will be blessed. Now, let me just read two portions of scripture, then I would want us to start praying. Let us read Romans 7, verse 22. Romans 7, verse 22. Romans 7, verse 22. Romans 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So there is an inward man in you who delights to be in a place like this, to pray and fast. Your inward man is happy. Oh, today I'm in prayer and fasting. I've put aside all carnal, earthly things, and I'm just spending quality time in the presence of God. The inward man rejoices. The inward man desires for you to be more prayerful, for you to be in evangelism, for you to speak to the Lord, for you to be a blessing to another person. The inward man delights after the good things of God's word. It's in there. Now, remember what the Lord Jesus said? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh will always have its cares and its priorities. And so Paul here says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So there is the outward man, because he has grown up in environments and certain things the outward man says. But when you are born again, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, as Paul continues to speak, he says, in chapter 8, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from the outward man? Is what he's talking about. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
So for you to walk after the Spirit, it means the Spirit dominates. These others are brought under subjection. And that is what a spiritual man is. Why do we call him a spiritual man? Because the Spirit of God, in connection with his Spirit, is able to walk in the ways of God, is able to bring the flesh under subjection. Let us read the last scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Now, listen to what this passage says. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. For which cause, if you're there, please, I want you to read along with me. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So your inward man can only be refreshed, be renewed, as the outward man is perishing. Both can't be alive, and then you become fruitful. It is not possible. The outward man needs to perish. You see, when your outward man is very active, you will never be spiritual. Even when you come to a service, whichever service you attend, when a preacher is speaking, you hear that sermon through the lens of another person. You say, yeah, that point is for that person. Or when you are in a service, you look for errors. What mistakes are the preacher speaking? When a sermon is done, you look for, there he wasn't correct there. Now, it means a person's outward man is very active. Opinions, imaginations. Do you know how a spiritual man hears the word of God? There is a true humility built into their being. Whatever they hear, they allow God's word to sieve them through. Whatever they hear, it is them alone. Although the audience can be big like this, but they are standing alone. They see themselves alone before God. And when the light of God shines on them, it exposes their flaws, themselves. They don't think about another person. They look at themselves and they say, oh Lord, cleanse me. Wash me by the washing of the water of thy word. Oh Lord, work on this anger problem I have. Lord, work on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Like the quote of Brother Branham I read last Sunday, where Brother Branham said, if you go in a service and all you think about are what errors you spot, Brother Branham says, the devil will allow you to see plenty of mistakes. Never go to any gathering of believers with such an attitude. Always go with an expectation of, Lord, what would you speak to me? And if you go with that attitude, out of whatever will be spoken, even out of certain erroneous things which may be spoken, your spirit will be discerning enough to pick what things you can learn from that. I'm not saying find yourself in places where erroneous things are taught. If you are spiritual, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You need to have the right attitude. When you have the right attitude, and every time you sit before the mirror of God's word, you see yourself growing from glory to glory. Praise God. I once heard it spoken by those who used to be with Brother Branham, the old timers. They said Brother Branham had a strange behavior. When another person is preaching, if it is Brother Neville preaching and it's not Brother Branham preaching in the service, and Brother Neville calls an altar call, he says, there was something strange about Brother Branham. he would always go to be prayed for also, like on the altar call, like he is also in need of the touch of God. My brothers and sisters, that is the prophet messenger to this age. When you look at him, you feel, whoa, this man was so close to God. Huh? But I loved that when I read it, that, oh, when a message is preached, Brother Branham would also kneel down like God needs to help him. You know, knowing him the way he was not doing that for showmanship. You know, there's some false humility which tries to manifest itself like it is humble, but actually there's pride hidden in that humility. You know, pride can manifest itself with a counterfeit humility. You know that? Trying to show like I'm also humble. And we know that was not in Brother Branham. Looking at the way he used to speak, looking at the way he used to do things, he truly would go in a service with a heart and an attitude that, may the Lord help me. Now, brothers and sisters, when the body of Christ is so humble and full of humility, and true humility is the one which is a result of the word of God and holy reverence to God. True humility doesn't mean speaking very lowly. True humility doesn't mean being quiet. True humility first comes when we stand before God. What is the condition of our thoughts? What's the condition of our imaginations? How do you assess and judge yourself as you stand before God? That is where humility is. And that is why Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear God when you stand before him? When you stand before that mirror, what do you see? If I stand before a mirror and I see myself, say, I need to do this collar like this. Oh, I think here there is, that is self-righteousness, and that can't be the mirror of God's word. You know, you can look into God's word and what you see is yourself. Say, oh, here I need to be like this. You are trying to perfect yourself by seeing your own image in the mirror. That is not God's mirror. Let me tell you what God's mirror is. God's mirror, the Bible says, we are beholding in that glass. What do we behold in there? What do we behold in the glass of God's word? Do we see our image? No. We are beholding the glory of the Lord. We see the image of Christ there. And what does Paul say? When we are looking into that mirror, there is a transformation that happens in us so that we are transformed into the very image we are seeing in that mirror. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want us to start our prayers on that line, on that note. We're going to stand. And now, may I give you a little guidance on praying? When you are praying, what is important is not how high your voice is or how low your voice is. Neither of those things are important. What is important when we come to a prayer session like this? Prayer and fasting should be an intimate connection between you and God. Intimate. Sincere. Forget about the neighbor who is standing next to you. And connect with God. When God looks at us in this audience, he doesn't see a group. He only sees you as an individual. And that is why when we pray like this, I don't like chairs to be arranged in any particular order. If you want, you can put your chair in that corner. If you want, just find a comfortable place where you and God are going to commune. You pour out your heart to God. I'm not telling you to pray quietly. Neither am I telling you, pray very loudly. No, that's not what prayers are. Let it be an intimate connection between you and God. Then you are having quality time before the Lord. Are you listening to that? Pray sincerely, sincerely. Pour out your soul. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Those who are joining us by online means, wherever you are, it could be in your bedroom, it could be in your living room, because after this message, we're going to turn off this line. We'll give ourselves time to pray wherever you are. You need to go in the closet and pray and pray and seek the Lord. We're going to pray for about an hour or an hour, 30 minutes. Just meditating, praying for yourself, praying about your spiritual condition. How many were looking forward to that, to pray over that? Yeah, just have an intimate relationship with God. Okay? So those who are in the visible audience here, you find a comfortable place. Those who are playing the keyboard, don't waste all your time. You're just, because we are praying. Okay? You can just put something which can be playing continuously. It can be Amazing Grace or whatever you recorded. But I don't want you to lose out. I want you to spend quality time so that at the end of the day you can say, I spent quality time with the Lord and with the brethren. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what we're going to do is, we're going to go in prayer. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has ministered to you, but I want you to pray